Hi friends, this is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying 28 Advent Scriptures, and this is day 14 in the fullness of time, Galatians 4, verses 4 to 5. And welcome to Saturday of the second week of Advent. Let's pray together. Lord, we're ready, but sometimes your timing isn't our time. Show us, O Lord, how and why you brought the Messiah when you did. And give us patience, O Lord, to wait for your time in our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So often we're impatient. We want it right now. Many times, through many dark days, the people of God longed for the Savior, the Messiah. Here is a Christmas passage where you wouldn't expect it. Galatians 4, 4 through 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Let's examine this passage phrase by phrase. When the time had fully come, verse 4, suggests that God had planned the event of sending his Son for a long time. There is a proper time for everything God does. The apostles were quite aware of unique timing in the mind of God. Ephesians 1, 9, when the times will have reached their fulfillment. 1 Corinthians 10, 11, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. Hebrews 9, 10, the time of the new order. 1 Peter 1, 20, revealed in these last times. We wonder why God selected the 1st century AD in Galilee and Judea to be the fullness of time. Of course, we're just speculating, but we know of at least four factors that were present. One, the time was right religiously. The Old Testament canon had been completed. The synagogue system had developed to the point that it functioned as a school, a judicial court, and a worship center, a model upon which the early Christian congregations are patterned. In Israel, there was also a fervent expectation of Messiah's coming. Two, the time was right culturally. There was now a common language, Koine Greek, spoken throughout the known world, and a common Greek culture was widespread. Three, the time was right commercially. The Roman system of roads connected the empire, making it easy for the gospel to spread from city to city and from country to country. And four, the time was right politically. Rome had instituted a common system of law that resulted in the Pax Romana, the Roman peace, enforced across the empire. There was little armed conflict. The roads were safer from banditry, and this made travel from one country to another much easier and safer. These conditions wouldn't have existed, for example, a century earlier, and for many subsequent periods, the conditions would not have been right either. God sent his Son, verse 4, is reminiscent of John 3:16 and many Johannine passages. It suggests that Jesus was pre-existent with the Father prior to his birth in Bethlehem. The Father's plan and commission for Jesus was constantly in his mind. And then, born of a woman, suggests Jesus' natural birth to Mary. This sentence makes the astounding statement that the Son of God was woman-born, making Jesus the God-man, begotten by God, born of a woman. It is one of the unique insights of the Christmas story of incarnation. In one sense, Mary is indeed the mother of God on this earth. Amazing. And then born under law reminds us that Jesus was born a Jew, circumcised on the eighth day according to the Mosaic law, presented in the temple with the sacrifice of a pair of doves or pigeons according to the law. The irony of this is found in the next phrase, to redeem those under the law, verse 5. Redeem is a commercial term, often used in the context of slavery. Buy up something, or redeem, literally buy back of slaves. Then it carries the more general idea to deliver someone, to secure deliverance of, liberate. Jesus redeemed those under the law, the Jews, but also the rest of us who were without hope and without God in this world. The next phrase, that we might receive the full rights of sons, verse 5, is the purpose of God in sending his son. The key word, translated variously, full rights as sons, adoption as children, the adoption of sons. The Greek word is huiostheia, adoption, a legal technical term of adoption of children. Though the word is formed from huios, son, Paul isn't introducing the idea of gender here. Rather, he is saying that we have been adopted with full status as sons and daughters of the living God, brothers and sisters of Jesus himself. Amazing. Adoption in the Roman and Greek world bestowed full status of son and heir upon a person. Remember the word redeemed in the previous phrase? Sometimes a slave would be manumitted, that is, released from slavery, and adopted at the same time, conferring instant and simultaneous freedom and status as a full son. In poorer families, since there is precious little to pass on, inheritance isn't something you dwell on. But in a family of means, passing on wealth to one's heirs is a much more prominent concern. In the New Testament also, inheritance is a big deal. The idea appears many times because of the wealthy family to which we belong. Paul emphasizes this idea of inheritance a few verses later, Galatians 4:7. Since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. We are co-heirs with Christ. What Christ inherits, we inherit. What Christ, our older brother, receives, we receive alongside of him. Our status in God's family is full. We are seated with him in heavenly realms. And Christ himself is seated at the right hand of God, the place of honor as son and heir. These things do not happen on man's schedule, but on God's. God's timetable extends to our lives, to this very hour. There are things God plans for you in the fullness of his time. He knows, he has planned, and through these things he brings blessing. Sometimes pain, yes, but blessings with the pain and struggle. We are in God's loving hands. My times are in your hands, says David in Psalm 31:15, and we trust him. One night, long ago, in the fullness of time, God's son was born in Bethlehem to a woman named Mary, and history has never again been the same. And one day in God's timetable, soon we hope, Christ will return, and we will enter into our full inheritance. Discussion question 14, based on Galatians 4:4-5. Why do you think God sent Jesus into this world when he did? What does it mean that he redeemed you? What does it mean that he adopted you? What is your inheritance? Let's pray together. Father, you're not in a hurry, yet you chose a very specific time to send your son into the world. We have times for our lives to help us to trust you patiently as we wait for you to bring your promises to pass. In Jesus' name we pray.